Hello and welcome to Greenhouse Rants, a podcast where Tyler Thrasher sits inside a suffocating glass box, screaming into the void, hoping anyone besides his plants will listen. Enjoy the ambient sounds of nature and the neighborhood lurkers as Tyler dives headfirst into his frustrations with the art community, plant community, and, well, all communities, while also offering somewhat wholesome and educational content. In short, a podcast for angry learners. And now, without further ado, from a man named Joe faking an English accent in the Midwest, your host and personal asshole, Tyler Thrasher.
Oh my god. What the fuck happened? I don't know what happened. It's been a minute, guys. It's been a real minute. And it's been a real fucked up time. I think we can all agree. So I think I have every excuse in the world, all of which are reasonable excuses, to have taken a long hiatus from this podcast. There's a lot to catch you all up on, a lot to share, a lot to rant about, and I'm feeling my soul starting to be re-energized and refueled with hope. And so that's mainly why we are kicking Greenhouse Rants back off. And I have some things I want to change, some new formats, some new structures I want to play with. Don't know how long they'll last. This is all just a big experiment, and I'm just fucking around. And if you know me, there's one thing I encourage. It is simply just fucking around. So without further ado, let's just dive right in. It's been a fucked up year. I don't even know if it's been a year. It feels like a decade. And it seems like everything that could have gone wrong did, and somehow I survived for the most part, and most people I do know have made it out somewhat intact, changing. I feel that I have changed and that I'm changing, and there's a lot of growth, a lot of hard lessons I've learned over the last several months, and a lot of challenges that tried to take me down, but I'm here to share my frustrations, wholesome content, messages of encouragement, and just kind of crazy, cool, fun shit that I've been doing, and things that are fascinating me. I want to start with a segment that I want to call the Colors of Science, and these are going to be tiny little segments where I talk about colors I've stumbled upon, colors I'm learning about that are specific to the realm of science, that are fascinating, that I think are truly fascinating. There's probably no shortage of colors. I don't know how far I can get this to go, but I do have a comprehensive list of colors that have blown my mind. And we're going to start off with that. So what's the first color? What is the first color that I will discuss? Colors of science. The first color I will discuss to start this all off with. And I'm thinking something on like a universal scale, like a cosmic color, and quite literally a cosmic color. Just like 3 fucking weeks ago, I was sitting around thinking, you know, things about the universe, and I've now filled my time with doing a lot of research on interesting facts about the universe, trying to find little nuggets of truth and knowledge and science that I didn't previously have. And I stumbled upon something known as the cosmic latte. The cosmic latte is a specific color. It's sort of like a creamy white beige, and it is the average color of the universe. It's just fucking crazy. I mean, it's really interesting to think about the universe having a color. The universe is comprised of a lot of different things. An infinite amount of things. So it's really odd to think that there may be an average color that the human eye can deduce from the infinite void that we peer into. And John Hopkins University surveyed light being emitted from over 200,000 galaxies or something like that, and began as a research into studying star formation. And they studied the light being emitted from from countless stars and from hundreds of thousands of galaxies, and kind of whittled it all down to an average color, which is the cosmic latte, which is the average color of light being emitted that's coming toward Earth that we can observe. I think that shit's fascinating. These aren't going to be long segments because I'm not an expert, unless there is a specific field that I know a lot in. I'm not an astrophysicist, so I can only talk about it to a degree that makes sense. I'm not going to try to pin myself up on a fucking crucifix of science getting my shit wrong. But yeah, it's pretty cool. Cosmic latte. Look it up. It looks like, I don't know, like fucking... I don't fucking know. Breast milk. I would know because I have a baby. But yes, it's the breast milk of the universe. So cosmic latte. That's my science color. Colors of science. That's my fascinating color for this episode. Okay, so let's get into it. What has happened since I stopped? I think the last episode I did... Oh man, I think it was like a month or so into the pandemic, and I think I had a little bit of hope. Whatever that looks like, I don't know anymore. That's not true, but I had some hope, and I think I ended it on this note of, oh, what am I drinking? I'm drinking Angry Orchard Hard Cider Rosé. It's all right. I ended it on this note of, like, we all need rest. And I stand by that. I don't necessarily agree with meeting foreign expectations. A lot of us, I think, are learning that our lives and our trajectory have been often directed and dictated by forces outside of our immediate lives and circles. And we play this game of having to keep up. And race toward what? I don't know. We're all racing toward some big fucking cliff while a select few, like, have found the bridge. You know, I think we were all learning that, and we're all having a reconfiguration of capitalism and what work looks like and what hustle looks like. And really, all of us trying to keep up during a pandemic showed us just how fucking stupid that concept is to begin with, especially when the systems that we are trying to all race to hold up fail us immensely. I think we all felt that, and that to some degree during this pandemic, one or more of the systems in our lives have failed us. And these were systems that we all invested in. I don't need to get into the last presidency. I don't need to, because I'm sure there's some assholes listening to this waiting for me to shit talk Trump so they can give me a bad review. I don't fucking care. But I don't need to say any more than most of us feel, which was that was a nightmare and somehow we made it out. I'm not saying anything in any direction about politics, but I will say that was like some weird Lovecraftian horror that we all have survived, most of us. Unfortunately, and a lot of us didn't make it at the hands of the negligence and ball dropping of an idiot. I'm sorry. See, there I go. Okay, I can't. But we all kind of realize that a lot of these systems have failed us, from government bodies to our local politicians and leaders that scoffed at mask mandates, that were more concerned with keeping the bars open than they were with keeping people alive. Some of our neighbors failed us. Some of our communities failed us. A lot of churches failed us, especially in the Midwest, where we have no shortage of mega churches all preaching love thy neighbor, but also, you know, go cough on them if you can. Bullshit like that. I'm hoping we're all seeing that we were making bad investments. I don't know what that will look like, but I for sure felt that way. That a lot of the communities that I kind of like maybe had some hope for, when we were given a crisis, they all failed us. And the things that kept us going were the individuals. If anything, I saw churches and large organizations and communities drop the ball and kill people. And then I saw the individual artists, small business, entrepreneur, advocate, activist, you name it, healthcare workers, the essential workers, a lot of people came together. A lot of individual people came together to help their community and fill a void when the larger bodies just kind of abandoned us for their own selfish gain. So a lot has changed, and a lot is changing, and that gives me hope because a lot of things were not working, and it took this for us to all kind of realize that the way things we had set up, they weren't working for these animals, for us as animals. They just weren't working. And this is kind of space for me to be honest. Right around when I stopped the last episode of Greenhouse Rants, my life kind of like fell apart personally. And I had this weird, this sort of strange dichotomy that I guess I kind of enjoy talking about because not a lot of people are honest about this sort of thing. And this is all new to me. But while my art and my creative business was flourishing during a pandemic, which was odd, I was always scared that if the world came into a crisis, I always said this, I said, if the world came into a crisis, the last thing people are going to do is buy crystallized bugs. I was scared when this all was taking off. So I went into extreme hustle mode. And some of you have been following me. Saw that. Like, I was like trying to sell and move as much as I could because I have a family and I grew up, you know, I came from a lot of trauma and poverty. So I was in my head, the only thing I was thinking is not again, not again, not again. Like, I cannot survive that again. So I went into Papa Bear mode and hustled, and things went better than they ever had. I'm not telling you wanted to bust your ass and hustle and panic. I mean, it served me in one way and it almost killed me in another. But yeah, that went well. And then everything in my personal life and my mental health and my social circles really fell apart. And those things held me back from being able to open up this mic and get back into the podcast. And then at the same time, we had to move because of some dangerous shit happening in our old neighborhood, which I'll get into. But a lot of things were moving and shifting and dying and growing. And I was just like, I can't pick that mic back up. I have been in such a dark place these last several months that I thought, if I turn that mic on, it's going to be the most depressing fucking thing anyone's ever listened to. And no one's tuning in to hear me talk about plants and talk about how pointless everything feels. Because I don't believe that. Sometimes, but it's just human. But there was a big chunk of the last several months where I've genuinely lost hope. And it took a lot from my partner, from my friends, from my therapist to kind of piece things together just to keep me stable long enough to heal. So, you know, I'm so grateful. I have such an awesome following of people that follow the podcast and listen, and we're totally cool with the massive hiatus because I needed it. And I hope all of you practice some form of rest or got rest that you needed because you deserve it. And we have to be better at sort of snatching those restful breaks when we need them. And hopefully we can get the tools to see when we need them ahead of time before it hits crisis mode in our personal lives. And then we take a rest solely because we don't have the energy to keep going. That's not a good time to take. You should be taking a rest long before you hit negative. So what happened? I ended the podcast for a minute. I was like, hey, everything rests, which I believe. Everything in nature rests. And so should we, because we are nature. And then right after that, I had someone try to mug me while I was walking Nova. Oh my God, I was at work at the lab and my wife calls me. Molly calls me and she's freaking out because there's a lady in our backyard banging on the back door saying bang, bang, and saying that we stole her kid. And Nova was really little looking through our back kitchen window with this lady pointing at Nova saying that Nova belongs to her. So this was also right after the George Floyd murder. So my wife's like, I don't know what to do. Do I call the cops? Do I call the cops? And I'm thinking, oh, fuck, God damn it. And I was like, if we had, because she's not well, you could tell. We knew she wasn't well and that she needed to be somewhere. So we were like, well, if we had social workers, if we had mental health professionals that could be deployed instead of the police. And so I told Molly the best we can do is call the police. That's all we have right now. And then just be like, we have cameras, just watch them and stay inside, lock the doors, don't let anybody in, and just make sure, like, watch them to make sure they don't hurt her. Because even though she was threatening my family, my circle, you never want to see someone get hurt. I mean, if she broke down the door and started attacking my family, that's a different story. But when they're just lost and you can tell that somebody, they are in need of somebody who understands their mental health crisis, that's kind of different. And I get that. And so that happened and that ended well. She ended up, she had been lost and people were looking for her. She ended up in our backyard. She did pick up a metal bar at one point, and I think she tried to swing it at the police. And I was like, lady, this is a nightmare. But as far as I know, everything was handled there safely and responsibly. And then someone tried to break into our neighbor's car. She was 8 months pregnant, stepped outside to confront them, and they charged her. And she ran inside and locked the door just in time. So, oh my God, what a fucking nightmare that was. Jeez. So, man, what else? Oh man, I don't know. There's so much. And now feels like a great time to turn on the Instagram Live. I always enjoyed that part of it. You can hear me shuffling things in here. I always enjoyed that part of it, but I don't want to give away the whole thing, so bear with me while I shuffle some things. You hear the rattling. Okay, live. Launch. So yeah, I mean, that ended up happening, and oh my God, a lot went down. Go ahead and move the mic. Just bear with me while I get my bearings. I haven't done an episode in so long, so it's kind of like warming up muscles that haven't been used in a long time. Welcome everyone on the live. I am relaunching Greenhouse Rants and decided to launch the old Instagram Live for those of you that want to watch the episode live and then listen to it later. So yes, a lot went down at our old house. It was an emergency. I mean, I can only handle so fucking much. Between a house fire, someone trying to break into our house, and then someone trying to mug me while I was walking with Nova, and then someone trying to mug our neighbor, and then the fucking house up the street was being turned into a trap house, and I was like, this is too much. This is too fucking much. I can only handle so much emotionally, and that house beat everything out of me. It filled my jar. But we were only there for like 2 fucking years. And I was like, this is too much. So we, in the middle of a pandemic, were in a moment of desperation where we fled trying to find a house to just get out of there. Because, you know, I can handle things on my own. I grew up around immense danger. Every day of my childhood was literally danger, all caps. But when I have a son, my job is to keep him as far away from the things I survived. So that meant getting out of that house. As much as I loved that house and, you know, we had the house fire and our community came together to help us rebuild, it was heartbreaking to leave. We had a home birth. So Nova was born in that house and there was a lot tied into it, but also that neighborhood and that home were also beating a lot out of me emotionally as well. So we moved and we needed a bigger space. I mean, you think your space is big, you think you have enough space until you have a child that can run, and things feel real small real fucking quick. So that once he started running, I was like, oh my God, I can't get away. I can't fucking get, like, I can't, there's no room I can get to in this house where I can just get away for a minute. So that was so exhausting. So we ended up moving, and I'm having a new greenhouse built for Greenhouse Rants. Right now I'm recording out of my sunroom, and we're getting a new greenhouse built. So it's going to be more environmentally friendly. The greenhouse I was using before was just this old hobby greenhouse that came with our home. And I was using space heaters to keep it hot in the winter. And I was like, this isn't right. I know this isn't right. There's got to be a better way to do this. So that's the plan now. And hopefully I'll have that in the next couple of weeks. But I wanted to get this started up now with the nice weather. I'm feeling better mentally and emotionally. And just personally, so it felt like a great time rather than to try to talk about things or launch a podcast when I was in a dark period. You know, my job on this podcast is to share the things that fascinate me while also sharing frustrations and wholesome content. And if I can't do all those in one, then the episode just does not need to happen. There's enough rage and enough depressing shit on Instagram and social media as is. And that was another thing I was struggling with, was like just the social media addiction, and not even addiction to anything of quality. Like, most of the shit that I've been seeing on social media, you know, most of my favorite artists kind of stopped making art or at least sharing it during this. So all the shit I was digesting was other people's rage. And don't get me wrong, don't misquote me. Everyone had a reason to be angry. As separate humans, we all had our own reasons to be outraged, and they were all valid. Well, some of them. People outraged about mask mandates are fucking idiots. But social issues, human injustices, I mean, those sorts of topics, we had every reason to be outraged. And then there are some stupid fucking things. QAnon bullshit and conspiracy theory after conspiracy theory. And it just felt like social media turned into junk food. That's what it felt like. Junk food with mixed in with really, really spicy food that you can only have a little bit of before it ruins your whole fucking stomach and you're on the toilet for 2 days. That's what it felt like. Was either one of my friends sharing crazy shit. I learned so much about the people in my life from this whole Trump era, the whole QAnon conspiracy shit. It was either someone telling me that people were killing babies in the basement of a pizza parlor, or someone saying that I needed to be as angry as they were about certain things. And while I can agree, I am one individual human. We are all single humans with only so much capacity to feel, care, and act. And when you have millions of people all outraged about different things, sometimes collectively, but sometimes also very separately, whenever you have that many humans screaming and shouting the things that enrage them, dude, you can't process that. And then the guilt, because you can't mentally care about that many injustices. You want to. I wanted to care about every horrible thing happening on the planet. It's not possible. As humans, we have not evolved to care and digest the entire world in one sitting. And that's what everyone wanted. And I found myself getting DM after DM after email from people who are saying, Tyler, you haven't shared this. Do you not care? It's like, I do care, but I'm on the ledge. Like, I cannot get depressed about one more thing. It's too fucking dark. It got so dark. And I know there's other people who felt this with me, where you just deep down in your heart wanted to care and change the world. And then you have to realize that there are people for those things. For everything I couldn't act on, thank God there was somebody who did have the capacity. And then I had to reframe what it meant to give a damn. And it boiled down to that the most important ways to care are locally. There are international and global issues that we should care about, but you can't fucking care about all of them. You want to, and you're not a bad person if you can't. You're actually a healthy human if you can literally work with the capacity you have. You can do much more when you know your limitations and work with them. It's when you go past that, that you're actually no good. You're actually harming yourself, and you will harm your circle as you hit burnout and the people who do need you, you can't show up for. And so I've had to learn my limitations. I've had to learn that, yes, I do have a huge following on social media. That does not make me any more of a fucking powerhouse. Doesn't make me any more emotionally capable than every other fucking human. That's not what that translates to. That just means that I can at least propel the issues that I have the capacity for a little more forward. And so I just got so depressed watching everyone around me share their frustrations. And then they were frustrated because not enough people cared, or people were upset with me because I wasn't sharing them. And it's like, dude, man, everyone's crumbling. Every fucking person's crumbling right now. You know, I'm talking about shit. I am, but I can only do so much before I go past burnout. And so you take all that and then moving. And then the craziest fucking thing happened, and it still blows my mind, and it has changed my art, my trajectory permanently. I decided after the George Floyd murder, you know, I had a breaking point where I think for the most people who followed me, I cared about things, and I was vocal about things like surviving trauma and healing, and I was very vocal about self-care. And then I started to really care about some real shit because I realized the capacity and the power I had with my social media. After the George Floyd murder, I was livid, and I was livid watching the protesters being arrested. And it just felt like insult after insult after insult. And I thought, well, I can't do anything. There aren't protests. There were some protests in Tulsa that I went to, but I can't travel. There's a pandemic. I can't do anything but work from my home. And so I did I relisted my Raise Some Heck shirts. And I said, I'm donating most of the proceeds to bail out protesters. And I thought, man, if I could raise $5,000, that would be amazing. That would be amazing if I could do that. And I set my goal there. I said, guys, my goal is to raise $5,000 for the bail project, and we'll see what happens. And within, I don't know, I left it up for 2.5 days, and we raised $75,000. I don't know how to explain what my brain did after that. I don't even really know what it did, and it's still doing it, but I was blown away. I mean, every video I shared, all my reactions were genuine. Like, I had no one else to share them with but you guys, and so I still don't know what to say. That this, I was like, just this tiny little artist in the Midwest could do that. It fucked me up, man. And that changed everything. And then it just kind of got much worse after. Like, it peaked, and I was like, oh my God, we raised all this money, and we donated, I can't even remember the numbers, like 25 grand to the bail project. We donated thousands and thousands of dollars to local projects and charities here. We donated like, I think, 8 grand to the Loveland Foundation. It was wild. It was absolutely wild. And then by the end of the year, we had ended up donating over $110,000, which I just went into like give a damn mode, I guess, and I just kind of got single focused. And while all that happened, it changed my business permanently. Like, I went from doing holiday drops and kind of squeezing stuff in and traveling and doing pop-ups to, oh my God, if given the moment, I can sell thousands of shirts for a good cause. And once you realize that capacity, it kind of changes where you want to go in life. And then there was the post office defunding, the post office was defunded in an effort to derail mail-in ballots. And when you have someone that's willing to, an administration that's willing to do that, while I'm trying to ship 10,000 shirts, that breeds a nightmare. I mean, and then my Grow a Damn journal came out, and the post office lost 300 copies of my journal. So I had 300 people emailing me saying, where the fuck's my journal? I'm like, hey, I'm sorry. Most of my emails were, I'm sorry, this is crazy. And the post office lost like 500 of my shirts. And then I hired this fulfillment company to take care of my shirts, and they just stored them in a building and smoked a bunch of pot. So when they kept slipping up and messing up the shirt orders, I said, just fuck it. Give me my shirts back and I'll ship them myself. And they reeked of pot. And I was like, oh my God, I can't ship shirts that reek of pot. So I had to air them out. And people were like, where's my shirts? And I was like, guys, I'm trying. It's just me and my small team. And then our mailman's like, we're behind and there's nothing we can do about it. And I was like, I get that. And so it felt like the whole world once wanted small businesses to operate at normal, and I'm like dying. Like my, I have never been more stressed in my entire life. We're talking like nightly breakdowns while trying to keep up morale. I had to order backup journals, and then those all sold, and then the holidays came. And we had these adventure kits, and I was like, fuck yes, everything's great. And the post office is like, guys, the world's crumbling. And I was like, yes, we get that. But everyone wanted their shit by Christmas. And I was like, God damn it. So in one way, it's insane to make something and sell hundreds of it. And in some cases, thousands. And it's just like this mind-boggling life that I didn't expect. It's in direct contrast to the me in college sitting there trying to peddle off Pokemon illustrations so I can at least buy my textbook or at least buy my ramen noodles for the week. Like living paycheck to paycheck, and not even that, like living tiny commission to tiny commission and just believing in something so hard and putting all my energy and life and love into a thing to watch it explode like this was great. And then it happened during the pandemic. And I was like, if there's nothing more on theme with my fucking life, then I don't know what it is. And so I don't know. Cheers to all of you who helped make that happen. It's changed everything. And then the great news, Hank Green reached out to me with his team, DFTBA, and they work with a very select few creators to do their fulfillment and shipping. And I think him and his team could see that I was like busting my ass, and they offered to take over for me. And I was like, oh my God, this is like fucking perfect. You know? And his whole team was like, we want to help you with that so that you can have more time to focus on your ideas. I was like, I told them, I almost broke down crying on the call. I was like, I haven't had time to make art in months. I've just been shipping shit nonstop and still behind. And just the thought of having my time back with my family, time to work on my mental health, time to work on my plants and the conservatory and my crazy ideas. And I was just like, I didn't ever think I'd see that again. You know, the pandemic really made me feel like life was just going to get dark and that's it. But that's never the truth. That's never the full truth. Yeah, life can be dark, but life isn't dark. That's not the full truth. And that's dishonoring the full truth, which is that life has a give and take. You know, we all know that. It's just when it's really dark, it's hard to see that the darkness will end. And I think we were hitting a point where the darkness is ending. I feel hopeful. I can feel it in my fucking bones. I can feel it in my human bones that life is looking more hopeful. So yeah, I don't know. I feel good. And I feel good. I feel like I got my wings back up, and it's time to take off and, I don't know, get excited about shit again. It doesn't feel risky to be excited and hopeful. Oh man. But honest time. After that, so I had said that, like, I did the Raise Some Heck fundraiser. I ended up connecting with a bunch of badass motherfuckers, like some badass people in the industry. and a lot of great connections. And then something happened. And I'm being real honest because most people don't talk about this shit. And I'm not trying to let anyone mistake me. I'm just a stupid fucking human who happens to have a large following, and it's been crazy. Shortly after that success, after that fundraiser, my life changed for the better in terms of what I believed I was capable of. And it changed for the worse when I realized that not everyone has your best interest at heart. And you hear people kind of talk about this. People who hit a certain level of success or momentum, and success looks different. But for me, selling 10,000 shirts for a fundraiser was like, this is pretty damn successful. I'm not going to downturn that. That's some crazy fucking shit. I watched about 80% of my friendships change. And that was what I think above all ended up fucking me over mentally. Like, while the post office debacle and losing up to 500 of my packages, you know, I could have handled all that if I had a circle to fall back on. And I had quickly realized that that circle was not there mostly. You know, and it's really hard to talk about, but I got to be honest because I know that there may be some people following me that may look up to my trajectory or look up to the sort of momentum I had been making over the last year or so. And while it all looks good, social media is really bad at making things look really great and well painted, but on the inside, it's not that at all. You know, after that had happened, I had about three different art institutions try to screw me over. Once you sell 10,000 shirts for charity, you can very well expect every vulture in the world or in your community to start turning their heads toward you. It's not that easy. You don't get to just raise 75 grand for charity and then not have opportunists start to, like, you know, perk their ears up. And I had communities and I had organizations that I had previously looked up to. I was met with immense disappointment when I realized that they care less about their community and more about getting a leg up. And so I had these local communities and local organizations and other organizations and galleries that I had a lot of respect for kind of like try to rip me off when I was in the midst of all of this. I had watched a lot of my friends and family and the people closest to me and some people that I really trusted who cheered me on, who were like, Tyler, you're doing great. We believe in you, man. You're doing it. We believe in your vision. Cheer me on. And then the second you hit that finish line, all of the we're proud of you turns into, ah, fuck you. And I had watched that happen whenever things are falling apart. And I would look back and be like, oh my God, things kind of suck. What's up, friends? And they would say, ah, fuck you. You know, you're fine. I'm like, what? What? And you hear about this, that at some point, things hit a point where people's interactions with you will shift. And they do. They do. And it is one of the hardest things to grapple with. It's something I'm still grappling with, that I'm still trying to understand how or why it happened. And then you really learn, I think we all had this in the pandemic, right? That we all learned who had the energy and capacity for us and who we had the energy and capacity for as well. And I had learned that a lot of my friends were happy for me up until you do something big. And when you turn around to celebrate and be like, oh my God, we did it. Like, we did some crazy shit. You know, half the people are like, ah, fuck you. And that sucked. That sucked. And then you start hearing like things like, and I don't know what it was. I think it was the Raise Some Heck drop. I think that looked a certain way to everyone else on the inside, I was like, this is great. I mean, this is great. I'm raising all this money for charity, and I was busting my ass on the inside. But on the outside, it looks different. I think on the outside, people just saw a different picture. And so I had people and organizations saying, I want a piece. And I'm like, I don't have a piece to give you, and fuck you. And I had friends that I thought I could trust in that would shit talk me or say fuck you to my face, and then they would use my name in different opportunities. And I started hearing from other people around me that people were using my name and my work to sort of get their own leg in and shit. And I just kind of watched about 80% of the people I trusted all collectively backstab me. And it's just kind of like, when you do something good, that's when it sucks. You know, like when you do something that is just wholeheartedly good, something that you believe in, a dream that you believe in that goes beyond your expectations, and then to watch the people you expect to celebrate with you and go, holy shit, we can change our community. We can make some real fucking change happen, but they're just fucking jealous. And I'm like, of what? Of what? You know, like these are people I wanted on my team. And you hear about that shit all the time. And I'm not saying I'm up there with anybody, but you do hear that when people hit a certain level of momentum, you watch the people around you react in one in two ways. Either their true colors come out and they scoff and they say, fuck you, or they talk shit about you and your success, or they are there twice as hard and they're there to support you because they're watching all the energy they put into you kind of come out. And I watched about 20% of the people in my life double down and say, yes, this is what we believed in. We got your back. And then most of everyone else is just kind of like, ah, fuck you, peace out. And that shit sucks. That sucks. And so I watched all that happen, and then my mental health started to take a real heavy beating. And then I was like, I can't do a Greenhouse Rants during all of this. I cannot do a Greenhouse Rants during all of this. It will be a very depressing episode. But I'm learning boundaries. And those are important. Those are important. They're life-saving, your boundaries. And I learned, and maybe some of you can digest this and use it as well, but I've learned that when you set a boundary, if your boundaries upset people, then you did the right thing. If someone has something to lose by you setting a boundary, you have all the fucking reason in the world to have set that boundary. And you knew well enough to set that boundary. Set those boundaries. There are people who want the best for you, and they will respect those boundaries, and they will believe in them, and they will be the ones to tell you, please set some boundaries. And then you'll have people that will be upset that you did set those boundaries, because that means that there's something they're no longer getting. Just saying. If you're not giving it, then they have no business having it. It's your life. It's your energy. You have every reason to be in control of what you give out. And you have every reason in the world to set boundaries. So I've learned to set some boundaries. I've learned who to invest my time in, what to invest my time in. And as things keep blowing up, I've learned the communities and the organizations that I believe in. And I've learned the people who want to help make those things happen. Not the people who are looking to get a piece when things do take off. It's just crazy. And hopefully you can hear it in my voice that this is a life I never expected. I didn't expect this shit. And it's crazy that it's happening. It really is. It's like the artist's dream. And so I had to think, man, do I stop killing it so I can keep most of my friendships and my relationships? Or do I keep on with the trajectory that the universe is obviously fucking catapulting me in and say, look, whoever's along for the ride, buckle in because this shit's crazy. I'm going with option number two. And it hurts to say, but I gotta grow. And I'm just getting started. You know, a lot of you are invested in my ideas and invested in this message that I'm trying to share. And I want to stay invested in the world, and I want to stay invested in the things that give me energy and hope as well. And I can't do that when I'm tied down worrying about bad relationships or people who violate boundaries. You can't do that. It's your life. It's you're a part of the world, and you need to keep the energy for the things that give you life. That's as important as that, and that should come first. And sometimes that's other people who give you life. And if they do, and it's reciprocated, then give those people every single fucking thing you got. Because if that's another thing this pandemic and this time has taught me, is that the people that feed you and the people that give you life and feed your soul, those are the most important people. The most important people in the universe. Those are the people you should invest in. And those are the people that you should nourish as well. And I've learned who those people are. And I hope you guys did as well. I know it's been a dark, dark time for so many people, for almost everybody. Except the few people who are still going to mega churches and having concerts and pretending like this all isn't happening and also storm the Capitol. They seem to be having a wild fucking time. Everyone else is suffering and they're just fucking losing their minds. But take care of the people that nourish you and nourish them back. Those relationships are priceless. They're priceless. And they are one and whatever. Give me your fucking number. I don't care. One and whatever that number is. It's less than you think. But those people are important. And I hope you have some of those people in your life. I really do. Yeah, that's about that on that. I barely made it out, but I'm here. Lots of therapy, lots of rest, and a lot of screaming, and a lot of frustration, man. A lot of bullshit and a lot of personal stupid shit that has got me so fucked up that I can't talk about right now. I'm going to write a book. I got a book I'm going to write. And I have had a fucked up, crazy life. Like, I've always hinted at some of this shit because no one's going to believe me. So I'm trying to scrap together photos from my, like, childhood and proof and data and all these things. But you know, I just have a I've had a crazy fucking life, and to go from what I survived to making a living selling crystallized bugs, I need to write this story. So a lot of crazy shit. And Molly has been a fucking angel through all this. And Molly, I think, has really helped me more than anything with my mental health. Molly has really shown up 1,000%. I mean, we used to go from like me not understanding my mental health and mental health shortcomings and challenges. I shouldn't say shortcomings, my mental health challenges and obstacles. I didn't understand them really. I'm a man and I live in a society that does not tell men to fucking take care of their brains and their minds and their spirits. We're told to fucking just like, and just fucking charge forward and flex and scream and slap our trucks on the back and just fucking cartwheel into masculinity until we fucking die from a stroke. Like, that's not how men, we can't do that shit. It's not working. Those make for very boring men. And so I don't have many role models on how do I, as a man, tackle my mental health. Because things like crying and feeling and grasping the whole emotional spaghetti and all of its greasy noodles, all that bullshit, it's just not cool. You gotta not cry. And sometimes I really need to fucking cry. But also, I do think there's room for anger. And Molly's been really good at that. And I had some dark shit happen, some very frustrating shit happen a few weeks ago. And prior to this, Molly, our relationship has grown a lot. I also like to be honest about this stuff because it's real life. Prior to that, you know, Molly would do everything in her power to like try to bring me down. Like, no, don't feel those things, don't feel those things. And I would be frustrated by that. And I never handled those feelings very well. I never did. I bottled them up and then it would kill me. And, just this last couple of weeks, like something happened. Molly knew it was bad and Molly was pissed with me. And instead of Molly like trying to like coax it down, and instead of me, like, I'm just going to bottle it up, and it will, it'll come out later. Like, I'm going to lose my mind later. We sat down, and Molly's like, look, I know you're mad. You have every reason to be. Just don't punch the wall. That's what men do. I don't know why that's the go-to. But Molly's like, don't punch the wall. These are new walls. We just got this house. Please don't punch the walls. She said, I'm going to get the baseball bat. And I was like, what? And she's like, we have a bunch of old squash and pumpkins. Let's go outside and smash them. Smash some shit. And I was like, that's what I'm talking about. You know, and that helped. That helped to have that side of my emotional spectrum acknowledged. You know, anger is scary, and it does show up in areas and rooms where it does not need to be, but there's also room for it. And I think Molly understood that. That is one of my whole life, my whole childhood was being soaked in anger and being angry about things I couldn't change when I was little. And those things stick around. And so I've communicated that way through that sort of passionate, those passionate bursts of energy that often look like anger. And she knew that. And that helped me be less angry. I was like, wait, what? She's like, yeah, let's just get the baseball bat. Let's get the bat. She's like, don't punch the wall. Go punch the ground outside. Don't, just, let's do that instead. And I was like, oh, wow. I was like, you're not trying to, like, shut me down? She's like, no. Not, that's not going to work. And so that's what we did. It was great. And it made me feel validated. And it made me feel like, oh, wow, I have every reason to feel this way. And I'm supported in feeling that way. So that's great. I think anger is a scary thing for a lot of people, as it should be. And it was for me growing up. Like, all I saw growing up was anger. And I saw the evil that anger can sort of bring about. But there's also a lot, if there's anything this year has shown us, is that anger and passion together can actually also bring about positive change. And it's a certain level of energy that, if used well, can fuck it. It's like an energy drink. Now, if you don't use it well, it's also like an energy drink. You just got to know when to time your espresso shot. That is what anger is. If you can do it right, it's a well-timed espresso shot. Don't take it at midnight. You will crash and burn and hurt yourself in the end. But in the right environment, in the right sliver of time, you can fucking go zoom, zoom. So, yeah, I think there's room for anger. And my relationship has changed and grown a lot. I'm learning a lot about me as a father, too. You know, raising a kid during a pandemic, there's no book on that. There better be. Maybe I'll write. I'm not going to write the book. I don't know if shit about parenting. But please, somebody write a book, because there will be more pandemics. And hopefully when they do happen, we'll handle them with some fucking science and common sense. I think we will. I believe in that. That's the trajectory of life, is to grow and adapt and overcome challenges. And that's the only way life can happen. So if life is going to keep happening, next pandemic, hopefully we handle it with a little more grace and learn our lesson. I'm not going to say we have it. There are idiots in the world, but I also lean toward humans have come a long way. We always have. Look, we have come a long fucking way. And it's not me shitting on older humans. It's just recognizing that our job is to learn, adapt, and take notes on the universe. And hopefully the next time this happens, we took notes. I think so. I remain hopeful in that department. I remain hopeful in the human department, because humans are capable of incredible, incredible, incredible things. When we use our fucking brains, this is a powerful thing. We should be using it. So that's, you know, things in the family, they're great. Things are really great. Nova is fucking huge. Oh my God. He's so fucking big. I don't know what happened. He was like a full ass kid. He talks, he repeats everything. Everyone says this. Here's the thing. If you plan on having kids, just believe every single cliche. All of them. take them for what they are, which are universal truths with parenthood. It goes by very fast. Soak up every minute. Yes, you will be tired, but if you have the energy to soak it up, to hold your baby for 1 minute longer, do it. Set your phone down, close your eyes, and just hold them. Even if they're squirming, just siphon out of it what you can. It goes by so fast. It does. I feel like early in the pandemic, I was just rocking him to sleep. And now I'm reading. Now I'm telling him stories while he repeats the stories back at me and then climbs on me and does cannonballs off of my neck. So it goes by fast. Soak it all up. And where was I going? They repeat everything. Now Nova's thing. I don't correct them sometimes. I know what kind of parent I want to be, and I'm not going to be the parent that's going to be strict on foul language. I don't believe in that. I mean, there's context, and he doesn't know any better. I never understood that, where a kid hears a word, they repeat it, and the parent either beats their kid or yells at them or degrades them or humiliates them. They don't fucking know. You brought them into a universe with lots of words, and they know almost none of them. So why punish them for repeating one in a world you brought them in? I don't fucking get that shit. So now Nova's thing, he'll say dang it all the time. And it's in the wrong context. So he'll mean to say damn, because I say damn all the time. But he says dang it. And he'll be like, where's my dang it toy? And I love it. It makes me so happy. And he doesn't have the, like, you can tell on his face that he doesn't mean it. Like, when someone says dang it, you can see the facial expressions and all the micro movements and things that would indicate how someone feels on the inside. But he's like, it's like him asking, where's my toy? But he'll say, where's my dang it toy? And his face and his emotions don't match the word. So I love it. And one time he heard me, Molly made something. And I took a bite and I was like, damn, damn. It's like, damn, damn, damn. And Nova the other day apparently took a bite of a cookie. He said, damn, damn, damn. I was like, yes, that's okay. 1000%. That is a-okay with me. So parenting's great. I love it. I love it. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. It's the most rewarding, and it's one of the few things bringing me peace. Even though it's also the least peaceful. It's weird how that works. On the inside, it's very chaotic. But on the outside, when I look at what it brought my life, it brought me a lot of peace. I would never let Nova know that. That's a lot of weight to put on a child, is to say, hey, buddy, you practically saved my life. But he did. Having him has shown me, has given me a sort of a second chance at childhood, at what it means to be human, what it means to be new. And it's made me new, having him. I would never put that on him or tell him that. Maybe when he's 30 and I can go, hey, bud, just so you know, you are the best. You know, my dad tells me that all the time. He's like, you kids are the best gift I've ever had. And I was like, shut up. Like, you're just saying cliche shit. And then I had a kid and I was like, oh, wow. No, my dad meant every fucking word, didn't he? He really meant every. So it's great. It's great. That's going great. Well, enough on that. The last little piece of this sort of like, hey, I'm back. What's up, motherfucker podcast? Let's talk about some plants and kind of things that are going to be happening from here on out and projects. And then I'm going to end this episode. I've been working on some music, trying to do things when I can. I have a couple of tracks, including a sort of lo-fi, chill-out, night drive remix of Milkshake by Kellis. I'm going to slap that shit on the back of this. But plants, I mean, I had to move most of my plants, and I would say about 25% of my plant collection died moving them. In normal circumstances, that would have broken my heart and destroyed me. But given that I'm only 28 and I have big dreams from here and I know how to propagate, and we're in the middle of a pandemic, a lot of things are changing. It's okay that some plants die. That's what plants do. They are allowed to die. I'm allowed to understand that. I can be sad, but I can't call myself a scientist, a botanist, without also fully accepting that fact of life for what it is. Plants die, and I moved them to a whole new location. With that being said, though, I've started this new fun thing where I've been doing a lot of sport hunting, and I'm trying to get some data on sport hunting. There's really nothing out there. I've always tried to like look up, what are the odds of sowing a bunch of seeds and one of them coming up variegated? There's really no hard numbers on that. Or what are the odds of a mutation occurring or a spontaneous variegation occurring? And there are no numbers on that, but it's something I enjoy doing. So I started to get some rough numbers. And I've been doing a lot of sport hunting during the pandemic. I've found some good things, and I've hired people in other states like Florida to go to wholesale nurseries on my behalf since I can't travel right now, and have them go through benches and benches and benches of Monstera and tropicals and plants looking for sports. And so far, out of maybe the 30 attempts that I've 30 times I've gone sport hunting or had someone go for me, about one. And this is rough. There's no hard data, and you can't really say there is. I can never probably say concretely that there is. But out of a sample of 250 plants, every single time I have found at least one sport. There have been times where I've found several, but at least I've always found one sport in a sample of 250, say, Monstera. And what does that look like? Sometimes, like, say Home Depot gets in a fresh shipment of Monstera. Well, these nurseries will put 10 to 12 different seedlings in a single pot. So when you think about it that way, if Home Depot unloads 18 to 20 pots of Monstera, that's could be anywhere from 200 to 250 single plants to look through. And every single time I have found a spore. Now, is it pronounced enough? No, maybe not always. Maybe it's very subtle. But the mutation, the fact that I have one... I have 250 plants, there's a chance for one to have a visible, at least noticeable mutation. Those are some pretty good numbers. So my thinking is if you go into a wholesale nursery, there's always a good chance there's at least one spore. These numbers are with Monstera specifically and Raphidophora tetrasperma. Now I have done some shopping at wholesale like succulent nurseries. But I haven't done sport hunting for succulents really, just because I'm very skilled at growing succulents from seed. So to me, that seems like a better investment of my time, just to buy a fuck ton of seed and sow it, and then you get weirdos that come up. But I don't know how to get my hands on Monstera seed, so it's easier just to go, and they grow a lot quicker than succulents. So you kind of got to pick where you get your quantities from. But 1 in 250, those are some interesting numbers, a weird little snippet of data that might help people who are sport hunting. But I've hired someone in Florida, and they have found me a lot of really cool sports that I'm really thrilled about, because my dream is I'm envisioning the conservatory and having a section of the conservatory strictly dedicated to sport variegated Monstera. Like every single type of variegated Monstera. It's a very specific thing, but that the world needs that, to have like a glass room dedicated specifically to variegated Monstera, and all the different kinds. And, you know, I don't know that variegated Monstera will always be hot and in. I don't care. I love them. And I think they're fascinating. And it's a good plant to sort of study variegation on. So that's my driving factor for variegated Monstera. Now, my phone's almost dead, so the Instagram Live might cut out. So if it does, I will be uploading this episode of Greenhouse Rants tonight, and we're going to kick this thing back off. You missed a fun segment at the beginning where I talk about colors and science, and colors that fascinate me, specifically in the realm of science. And so each episode, I'm going to start off with a fun color that is blowing my mind. Just because, why the fuck not? So you missed that. So if this dies, and you can tune back into the episode once it's on Spotify or iTunes or wherever the bloody hell you listen to your podcasts. I don't care. Other things, The Lost Magic, my D&D podcast. I've been dying to start the fourth story. Like, I have a story to tell, and I can't do it because you can't gather around a table. I did get my first shot. I did get my first shot, so we're getting there. And once once enough people are vaccinated, then I'll feel confident sitting around a table with a microphone. Once everyone's vaccinated and I feel safe and I can make that educated decision. But until that happens, there won't be another short story on the Lost Magic. That won't be happening until I think it's safe to sit around a microphone. So that's going to be fun. The fourth story is going to be a horror story. I have three up so far. I have The Desert Widows, which is an all-female campaign about survival and them overcoming a challenge that has fallen onto a hunter-gatherer community where all the women in this desert village and desert tribe have to come together to protect the village. And then the second one is Scales and Tails, where the players play as kobolds, and it's just nothing but bonkers bullshit shenanigans and horrible kobold voices. And then the third story was The Grizzly Wizard, where a magical terrorist unleashes and wreaks havoc on an entire city, and the players play as city guards that have to defend the city from one of the most ludicrous acts of magical terrorism. But the fourth one's going to be a horror story. So if you've listened or kind of tuned into my Choose Your Own Adventures I do on Instagram sometimes, most of those always seem to take sort of a creepy twist. I can't help it. And so I'm going to do a D&D story that follows that sort of creepy, weird, Twilight Zone-y vibe. So it's going to be good. That one's going to be good. It's got to be safe enough. Other plant updates. So I've been in charge of breeding a variegated onion, your typical yellow onion. Uprising Seeds, you can find them on Instagram or anywhere else. Uprising Seeds, they had a variegated onion come up. And the it's intensely variegated. If you go to Uprising Seeds and you scroll down a little bit, you'll see it. It's crazy. And I freaked out. And I was like, oh my God. And they sent me like 200 seeds from that plant as like a sort of like a thank you for doing cool shit. And I was like, oh, thank you for doing cool shit. And they were kind of like, we don't really have time to try to like breed this into a line of variegated onion. We don't have time for that. So you do it. And I was like, I will do it. So I sowed the seeds and the onions are coming up. And I think they crossed their variegated one with a non-variegated one. And so far, it's half and half. Half the seedlings are variegated and half are solid green. But interestingly enough, about half of the variegated ones are albino, which seems to make sense genetically. So about 25% of the total seedlings are viable variegated onions. And I'm going to put them, we got this new house. I'm going to garden. Like I finally have that last house we were in. So many people are like, Tyler, do you garden? Can you help me with gardening? And I'm like, guys, I can't tame this garden. Like that garden we got was a lot. It was a lot and a half. It was a big ass backyard and it was just wild, like Bermuda grass everywhere. I literally and physically did not have the energy to do it. Like I couldn't keep up. I could not keep up. So, and someone asked, what do the onion bulbs look like? I don't know. I hope they're variegated. You know, variegated peppers, the leaves are variegated and so are the peppers. Variegated bananas are the same. Variegated lemons are the same. It'd be cool as shit if the onions were also variegated. We'll find out. Of course, I'm going to keep everyone posted. But I finally can garden. We have a house where it's like reasonable. And I put in some raised beds. I have my sunroom, my greenhouse, my gardens. I'm going to turn this into my plant haven and share my adventures with all of you. And so once I get these onions in the ground, the next plan is to crossbreed all the variegated ones. And theoretically, have the next line of seeds, the next generation, will be more variegated than solid. There will probably still be solid ones just because that lineage, like that one of the parents, the grandparent would have been solid. So there's still that gene in there. But I will whittle it down so that hopefully I can produce a line of variegated onions in collaboration with Uprising Seeds, since they are trusting me to do this. and be able to make a line of variegated onions that are cool. I hope the onions are variegated, because from what I understand about this variety, the leaves aren't that tasty. But I mean, who knows? You know, it's like apples. You know, maybe most apples taste like garbage, and then you find the one that's really good. Maybe this can be that. Maybe the leaves, maybe one of them comes up and the leaves are delicious. But as far as I've read and understood, the leaves are not, have really very little culinary application. So I don't know. If the onions are variegated, that's going to be cool. But if anything, the foliage is beautiful. It's like stunning. I really suggest you go look those up. Other things, I'm going to end this on this crazy, crazy note. As some of you know, I've been wanting to induce variegation. I've been doing a lot of research. I've had no such success yet. It is possible, but more so than that, I want to make a black Monstera. I don't know how. I've done a lot of research, and it seems possible, but you need a huge sample pool with anything when you're like fucking with genes. And so I can't get my hands on enough Monstera seed to try this out. And then someone tagged me in a laboratory, I think in Europe, they're trying to make variegated pink Monstera. And I was like, I knew this was coming. However, we're only seeing the beginning. Like, variegation and all these patterns are flooding the market. And so there's this void for something new. So you will be seeing, and I called this shit before variegated Monstera blew up, before the synthetically induced pink shit came up, all that. What we're going to see next are laboratories trying to make designer plants. And it will be interesting to see what comes of that, but I will say, be careful. If you see a fucking pink variegated Monstera on the market, don't be the first one to buy it. Watch it and see if there's any reversions or anything, because I guarantee you, with the money that's being pumped into the plant market, whoever makes this shit is going to want to put it out quick with little tests or trials. So when we start seeing designer plants, be careful with your money. I know these things get exciting and you don't need to hear it from me, but I also am very wary when it comes to the plant market and the plant community at times. But as for the black Monstera, yeah, I mean, it'd be as simple as producing a Monstera that produces excess anthocyanins, which are the pigments that are responsible for pinks and purples and reds. And so it'd be not as easy, but that would be about it. So I've been taking black and purple philodendrons and taking the old leaves and turning them into a slurry of anthocyanins and cellular mush, and then injecting them into the nodes of Monstera seedlings to see what would happen. Do I think something will happen? Most likely not, but maybe. Who knows? That's what science is, right? And I like to specialize in the realm of weird niche fucking weird shit. Like experimenting. Like genuine, true experimentation, just because it's fun. So who knows what will come of that? Send good thoughts. But yeah, I'm back. It's time to go. I'm feeling good. Life is good. Humans are good. I hope you're good. And I hope you're doing good. And let's end it on a very ridiculous remix of Milkshake. enjoy.
Shake, bring your boys to the yard, and like my milkshake, bring your boys to the yard.